That was the end of the year joint. Actually, I dropped Too many to count.
So because the top of the, like not the top of the year, but you know, towards the top of the year, I had shout out my man Bernard the Bastard and my man S. Dot Grant. You know, those are the two producers over at Alpha Recording Company. And you know, we did four tapes. I did Clandestine, Castile Royale, Private Reserve 2. Stoner Bebop. That was at the top of the year.
What's the one that's all white with the
With the clocks? Oh, shout out man with these jeans, bro. Shout out my brother, man. Shout out that man, bro.
What's the name of that project?
That one's called World Intel. Those producers, ATG, Mo Dollars, and S. Dot Grant. You know what I mean? Just those are the people we work with. They honestly, I've been thankful enough to have networked my way into some good hands when it comes to beat production. Mm-hmm. So you know, shout out those guys. If y'all, you know, you need a pack, go see them boys. You know.
There you go.
We're gonna continue the conversation.
We're
gonna sit down.
We're
gonna be right back.
Y'all caught us in the middle of talking NBA. You know what I mean? The NBA is different. We sitting here watching Golden State against San Antonio.
Right.
Yeah, in the Alamo Dome. That's crazy.
And they got 95 points in the third quarter with 5 minutes left. That's crazy. That's crazy.
They're about to score 145.
For real, bro.
That's crazy.
The average score in the NBA is like 120. Like,
yeah,
like
it's different. Right
122
now.
Is some.
Yeah,
shit,
yeah.
They said is at the highest in history. The most players in history averaging 30 this season.
That's wild.
It's like
bro.
six seven players averaging 30.
Nah, I think it's like
11 or 12,
bro,
some shit like that.
In the last three seasons, I can name like four players who were probably averaging 30.
But we back at it, man, with Fonzarelli, man.
Fresh off the pool table.
That's a fact. Y'all saw us right there where we last kicked off. He was talking about his last latest project that he released, you know what I'm saying? And we got into him talking about his last projects. But am I getting this number right? Did you drop 10 projects in 2022?
Correct.
Wow.
He dropped 10 projects.
It's 12 months in a year.
That's a fact.
I'm just saying.
28 in total since 2020?
Yes.
Jesus Christ.
And counting.
I got a lot of shit to listen to. Nah, that's a fact. And like he was saying when we was sitting in the car, we was, you know, we had to smoke. You know what I mean? We got to respect the space, man. Yeah, ain't no smoking in here, man. But y'all tuned in with the Don Coy and D-Week and Hippie Show.
And we are the smokers.
Yeah, that's a fact. That's right. But damn, where I was going to go, like he was saying, it's so much continuity to his music that there's not really any songs that you can skip.
That's how it's supposed to be.
Yeah, while I was going through the catalog, I just kept pressing the heart button. You know what I'm saying?
I appreciate
this song has been added to your like songs, you know what I'm saying? So, where you get that work ethic from, bro? Like,
oh man,
10 projects in 1 year, that's crazy town to me.
I appreciate that, first of all.
Yeah, man, that's a fact, bro. I mean, because I say that because we do a podcast.
Right.
And if I could, I think it's in this book. If I could find the number, bro, I'm going to tell you, we work hard too, right?
Word.
We dropped 43 episodes of the Don Coy and D-Reek and Hippie Show and 27 episodes of The Smokers last year. You know what I'm saying? So that's close to like 80 episodes.
That's
so
I mean 70.
When I'm looking at your shit, I'm like, damn, 10 and 12 months, bro.
10 and 12 months.
That's crazy. And then
it's not one song.
No, and then he drops visuals and everything to go along with his shit. So where you get that work ethic from?
It's really just like natural. I'm not forcing anything. I've been blessed with the gift to be descriptive in my words.
Mm-hmm.
Or
or, you know, in my verbiage. I've been blessed to be able to have an eclectic vocabulary to express what may be your day-to-day too.
Right, right.
You know what I mean? It may be something you relate to. It may be a moment or idea that I said something and it could have, you know, spanned. And that's really what my projects become.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the titling that you get is the main focus or the main thought process during my creation.
Okay.
A lot of the time, I'll try and plan out, this title, because these ideas pop into my head.
Yeah.
But when I come to make the music or when I start that recording process, by the time I get to the end, sometimes what I created don't match.
Doesn't match, yeah.
And I gotta go back.
Whole different view now.
Right, you know what I mean? And sometimes I have to sit with it. And really, like,
there you go.
And really, like, really mull it over, because I want the point that I'm making in the music to resonate with what the titling is. Because when I was coming up and when I was growing up, that was something that was, something so to say, important to me.
Went hand in hand.
Artist, you know what I mean? Like,
that's a fact.
My favorite artist, maybe the title may not have jumped out to me, but the cover art might have jumped out to me, right?
But and back then you had the book with the album, so.
Right, so then you got the other pictures on the inside, right? So
Blueprint 2, one of my favorites.
The visual from where the artist is stemming.
Right, that's a fact.
Their inspiration from. You
and know that's missing.
So that was like, that's really where the work that it comes from, in a sense. And then also, I hated when my favorite artist always dropped a single, man. Like, that shit bugged me. Because guess what, right? You just dropped an album. All right, cool. We've been listening to this album for 6 months now. Oh, here you come with a single. Ooh, this single fire. Now I gotta run this single into the ground.
For 6 months.
Half a year.
Until you maybe drop another single, maybe give us the visual to that single before we even know what the name of the album is.
Yeah.
I think that's one reason J. Cole became one of my new favorites. Like, in the past, what are we saying now, 15 years now, almost?
10, 12 years.
Right? Because even when he dropped small projects, it wasn't, like, he'll drop four tracks.
He'll,
Lucy, so it's
enough
like,
to be like,
he'd be like,
red, bro.
Yo, I'm play these back, bro. Oh, this nigga album about to be crazy. You know what I'm saying? Bro. As opposed to like, here, take that single.
Here,
so I understand single. What you're saying.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I took a page out of Spitta's book, Currency, Spitta and Dre. He was somebody who started that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I can't say where he got it from per se, but that's where I got it from.
Mm-hmm.
And seeing how he was releasing music kind of like at will.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And they all embody different ideas, you know what I mean? Although they all stem to certain, to in one degree, to the same thought process.
Right.
But they were just different breakdowns of this thought process.
Yeah.
That's a fact.
And that's when I was like, nah, fuck it. If he can do that shit, I can do that shit too.
That's a fact.
And honestly, it really started in 2020. Nah, I'll say 2021, because that's when I went on. Most people don't even realize it, but I literally dropped a project every month in 2021.
Yes, sir.
Jeez.
Every month. And then came back and then did the 10 for 12 this year. But like, understand that like, I work at a different speed. I work at a different pace. So when, by the time y'all even get it, bro, I'm 3 projects.
You already on. That's crazy.
I'm moving in an intent, like I said
to you
before. I'm moving in an intent, like I said before, like, I want this shit. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not doing it in a space of like, yo, I'm trying to do it for any type of validation other than my own.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to get to, because you had mentioned that before. You said that you want this. Like, where did that stem from? Like, when did that begin? You know what I'm saying? Like, yo, this is what I want to do, and I'm going to figure it out.
It was young.
Yeah.
And it wasn't, and the thing was, is like, I had the thought process at like 10, 12.
Right.
Asking my mom and dad for like keyboards, beat machines. And like, I never got those things. But like, it in a weird roundabout way, it gave me that determination and that drive that like, nah, I'm going to figure this out.
Knowing that you was musically inclined.
Right.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, and it wasn't like a guessing thing. Like, you know what I mean? Obviously, like, exposed to it at a young age. Growing up in church, parents being a part of not only the choir, my dad playing the drums, just in generally being around rhythm.
Music is in. Sound, yeah,
you know what
same.
I mean? And that's a different, to me, that's a different sound to have come up in, because to hear what a mass choir can do with their voices and the sound, the sonics, you know what I mean? Like, if you've been around or if you heard it, you understand the layering that happens sometimes, even in music, when you can hear it. You know what I mean?
And you feel that shit.
Right.
It evokes a kind
it's
of
It's different.
Feeling.
It's a completely different vibe.
That's why some crazy of the greatest singers started in the church,
bro.
But even some of the greatest rappers. Like, they was in the church choir doing something, or they was in the church with their great
public speaking, being in front of people.
We move
that sound
in rhythm.
That sound is loud.
You're going and you're taking that in every Sunday.
Every Sunday, bro. From like infancy to 15, bro.
Yeah.
If you don't get towards gospel and you get towards what you're form of music or genre of music.
Mixing it with your genre of music. You're like, oh shit.
That's what happens.
I could put some of this in.
I had got exposed to music at that younger age, at least from a sonic sound point, and being like, okay, I enjoy this. I like doing this. Yeah. You know what I mean? Probably around like, I'll say like, I'll go like, let's say 12, 13 is when I started to like really kind of pay attention to like, let's say like 106 and Park, BET, even MTV, VH1 early in the mornings and stuff like that. More so as I got older into like music videos, but I was paying attention to the performances.
Yeah, you were
saying. You know what I mean? Like, even with like going back, like MJ, like when he was performing, doing the big shows, early Method Man, when him and Redman was doing it, when they were a tandem. Yeah. Snoop when he was coming through, Busta when he had the wild videos that were so just animated.
And that was one of the first music videos I got exposed to was Busta Rhymes, the one when he was the Blue Devil in it.
Oh, give me some more.
Yeah.
Yo, bro.
That was one of my favorite artists
too,
when I was younger, bro.
Me, that video.
If you pay attention to it, it's a dance sequence. And
Yeah, bro.
He was dancing.
The whole situation and how they have it mocked up for me is like, it's fire. You know what I mean? It's that creative sense that as Nip said, there's no rules to this shit, bro. So
Wild,
like,
Wild West.
That's really where it kind of just blossomed there. You know, like I said, I was kind of determined to like just figure it out. I asked my parents for certain things. I tried to go to like sound and audio engineering school and do such and such. It wasn't until like I think like I'll say 03-04, I have reconnected with my cousin, Big Dog. Shout out Big Dog.
What a time
to
be alive.
The whole freaking Fresh family. You know what I mean? We had connected, let me not say we weren't, like, say it like we weren't connected already, because, like, me and him, that's really my cousin. Like, we really been solid. Like, our dads were close growing up and stuff like that. Like, we've been solid for a minute. But we had connected in a space where he found out that I did music and I found out that he did music.
Okay.
And that we both had that same passion for it, in a sense of like just genuinely loving the competitive, the sport, the sharpening of the sharpen. You know what I mean? That aspect that was hip hop. And he was, you know, he was like, yo, and we actually, funny shit, we actually battled one time and he smoked me. But that's when I realized that like battle rap wasn't for me.
Right.
Okay.
You feel me? Like, yeah. But at the same time, he even said to me, he was like, yo, listen, I be going to so-and-so's crib for the studio, like, pull up, we can make some, let's do music. Some, you know what I mean? So I was like, cool. So he put me on with the homie Smitty. Shout out Smitty. Smitty was the first person to put me behind the mic. He was the first person to give me an opportunity to come through with my freestyles over fucking Young Jeezy's Go Crazy beat.
Hey.
and really let me, you know, go off. And from there, it really just, I was like, this is it.
All right.
This the way this I could do the music.
Right. Yeah, this is how I'm gonna
that
do it.
Aggressive that, shit over there.
Whatever this is over here is not for me. This is how I'm gonna do it. This is me. I can't front no fluff. No. And it really became a way of my life. Now it became a part of my life that, like, you know, my weekends. Like I was telling my parents, I moved upstate in 2004 or 2005. Mm. So around that time is when I had just kind of started getting in that recording process. Mm. So my time was limited when I could be in White Plains,
right?
Because I was upstate at school, but then like on the weekends I'm there. But like when I'm coming down, like I want to record. Yeah. So I'm like Monday through Friday, I'm writing
crazy.
I'm crazy writing. And I'm, let me not say like I'm forcing stuff. Nah, I'm just finding beats, finding whatever. And I'm just, you know what I mean? It's flowing. And I'm just letting this shit happen.
Mm-hmm.
So
I'm glad you mentioned that too, because that was my next question. Like, where does the writing process, you know what I'm saying? You just mentioned, 40 projects?
Nah, 30, like, just
in the past 2 years?
Yeah.
30 plus?
So, like, it really stemmed from there, bro. Like, it really stemmed from that being that limited time.
What you
time,
have to do.
You know what I mean? And knowing that when I go to the studio, it meant we was working.
Working, yeah.
Straight to it.
You know what I mean? Like, straight granted, to it. We made politic for a hot minute in the beginning, but I knew what I was going there to do.
Right.
And he kind of put it in the same space because, like, I didn't know how to do a lot of the engineering at that point in my beginning stages. So it was
nobody does.
Right. Yeah. So he was really doing a lot of all of that mixing and whatever. Mm. But I also knew, like, my man had his own life and had his own thing. So.
Right.
Right, so when I come here and you tell me, bro, I only got an hour or I only got 2 hours, I gotta maximize on this time. Yeah. Why? Because I want the most out of it, and I don't want you to feel like I'm coming through to waste your time.
So did that force you to like stand over his shoulder and look at what he's doing?
Nah, it forced me to ask certain questions so that I can get the answers that I needed so that I can do this shit on my own. Yeah. Not because I didn't want to do it with him.
That's real shit.
You gotta learn every aspect of this art.
I gotta write. I gotta be able to know, like, I could do this shit by myself.
That's how I learned how to do all this from our first engineer.
You asked the right questions.
Yeah,
what software is this?
Yeah, cool. All that type shit.
What's this? Whoa, what's this? Oh, that's an interfacer? Yeah, all right, back. Cool. Cause then at one point, like, you know, I went off to college. I ended up having my son. It's just a lot, like, life happened.
Yeah.
And it separated me from the team for a short period of time.
Mm.
And
that's growth.
Right. But in that time period, I took what I learned and was like applying it, because I was like I said, I'm gonna make this happen, bro.
Yeah, I ain't giving up.
This out, bro. Y'all Killer put me on. Smitty put me on. Mm-hmm. I'd be stupid to not use these tools to continue to at least go to the next step. Or at least put myself in a position to show that, like, yo, with nothing, I've made.
Yeah, that's a fact.
By my, you know, with that's no complaints.
That's a fact, yeah.
So,
right on my shoulders.
The writing process changed in a sense that I started writing all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Because I had the unlimited access now to my own.
Because now it's you.
My, right. My own whatever. I'm like, oh. So my freshman year of college, like, right before my son was born, I think I had went on like a 14-song tear. And this was like in this process of me learning how to engineer myself, learning how I sound.
Basically practice.
Right. I got my those 10,000 everything. 10, I was hours. Using the first, like, my first microphone. Shout out my baby moms. no, for real. Always. Because she bought me my first microphone set or whatever. And I to this day respect her for doing that.
Yeah.
Because she saw that I was passionate about something and she didn't have to do that. And don't get me wrong, it wasn't nothing, whatever, but
It's the effort and the support that matters.
And that's what you know what I mean? So my first microphone was a USB microphone that I was straight jacking right into the CPU, right? However it's coming out, it's coming out.
That's what's gonna happen.
Right. I'm doctoring it up, I'm trying to make it sound to give it my stamp on it.
Yeah.
From there, my son was born. You know, life happens, we separate, this shit happened, da 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 da. I'm like, I gotta put this shit on hold. Not because I wanted to, but because now I have an obligation to somebody else, and they gotta come first.
Yeah.
And around what year is this?
This is 09.
Okay.
Okay.
He's born in 09, and.
Oh, you got
it's not that far away.
You got a fresh teenager now.
Oh, yeah, bro. Yeah. Shout out, Face. Yeah, I love you, bro.
You got a fresh teenager.
So it put me in a space where, like, I had to put the music on the back burner. It's not that it went away. It's like I had to do other things.
Yeah, that's a fact.
To prioritize real quick. Bing, bing, bang.
But in the same regard,
that shit tapping you on your shoulder, right?
Right. So once he gets to a certain age, I'm like,
self-sustained.
I'm in a space where I'm like, bro,
here we go.
I got extra time now.
What about this music?
Something. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What about this music, bro? What about this music? What about this music? And I was in a relationship at the time, and things was real rocky and bad, and low key. That tap on my shoulder in the back of my subconscious, like, save me, my nigga.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like, it saved me. Like, real saved me on some, like, you gonna leave here and not do this?
Yeah.
Oh, I bet. And I just, it's like, something clicked. And I was like, nah, we know exactly how to do this. Like, why are we acting like we don't know how to do this?
Stop playing.
Nah, legitimately, like,
man.
So, you know, I found myself in a position where I was able to really tap in and get myself, like, the equipment that now what you hear me producing on and be at the be level that
crisp.
I'm at,
yeah.
You know what I mean? And really be at that level that I'm trying to excel at.
Yeah.
You feel me? So the writing process changed because it was never that I couldn't, but it changed because I went from writing in a notebook to having to write on the go.
Okay.
Okay.
And it became a sense of, like, I'm always in the studio.
Yeah. Yeah.
It don't matter.
It don't matter where you
don't matter.
Like when you were saying right here.
I ain't gonna say
what you said.
Nah, but like, listen, I'll go through my phone. All right, look, bro. This is no funny. Like, I'm not even, and it's not a flex. This is the real, bro. Like, this is literally the thumbnail. This is the penning that I've been doing. I told you, like, I haven't been in the studio for like a month. This is the penning that I just do on a regular.
It's a lot.
this is, these are the, or every project has a folder,
it's a lot.
Like all of this, every, bro, this
it's
is
a lot.
I write all my stuff, bro. It's a lot. There's no ghostwriting. There's no ghostwriting. Nobody writes
it's
for
a
me,
lot
bro.
In that phone.
And it's crazy because you have like a real diverse sound. You know what I'm saying? But for the most part, for me, what I pick up is it's a celebratory sound. Like it's a loud, it's a big sound. Like your songs are built for like arenas and shit like that. You know what I'm saying? Like for instance, the intro song, Job Done. You know what I'm saying? And then your visuals to go with it. What goes through your head? Cause you got the suit on and everything like that. You know what I'm saying? what goes, cause I watched a couple of your videos and they all are super dope. You know what I'm
Appreciate
saying?
You.
So what goes through your head with the visuals? Cause from what we gathering from the conversation, you are artist, like a complete artist. You know
I
what I'm saying?
That.
Like you see shit in different ways. You know
Very
what I'm saying?
So.
Mm-hmm. So how did that come about?
Because
we kept hearing you throughout that whole dialogue right there. You kept saying, at certain points, you was like, the writing changed. The writing changed. You said that 3 times, you know what I'm saying?
The writing changed, and not what I was writing, but the fluidity.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's what I got.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It became more so, instead of it went from, and this is the only way I could really like explain it. It went from writing bars to writing time.
Okay.
Think about this. It went from writing bars to writing time. Because at one point, I was trying to match myself with music.
Okay.
Instead of being the music.
Yeah.
Okay.
Flowing with
I see.
It.
Yeah, time.
So time.
Like Bruce Lee said, be water.
Be water. It became a sense of like, now I could really just jot. Go through my phone, or let's say S-Dot. He'll send me. He work like me, really. Like he'll send me.
That's what helps.
He'll send me like 25 beats in a week, bro. Bernard will send me a pack of 10 beats, and you know what I mean. So I'll go and grab one of them, and it don't have to be anything.
You're not picky.
No, it don't have to be anything. Whatever. I know that these gentlemen have put their essence in these
into
beats,
this, yeah.
And it speaks. Like I don't have
and
to
you feel
force
that
it.
Shit, yeah.
Right, it's a feeling process.
Yeah. Yeah.
So when I have, I go and select a beat, right, and I pull it up, and I'm like, I'll sit with it. I might be smoking, I might not be smoking. I might be like, oh, I need to smoke to this. It all depends on, no, for real. Because sometimes I'll be,
like,
and when I say I need to smoke to this, that means like I'm probably in the process of finishing a J, ready to cone 2 more because I really need to get into this. Like,
yeah, that's a fact.
You know what I mean? So yeah. Like, it could be like that. And then there's other times where like, I could throw something on and I may have something and I'd be like, nope. And come up with something
completely
brand new.
Mm-hmm.
But it's all in that, and it's the time. It's,
yeah.
It's where I'm at. It's never about trying to like I said,
trying
create,
to create
it. You know what I mean? I don't have to create it. Like
it's gonna be.
That's how people usually, well, artists usually make music. Like they hear the beats, I can't do nothing with that. So you really looking for something that's like,
specific.
I need that.
Right.
And it's
so
like
what
you
about,
limit yourself when you do that. You know what I'm saying? So
what about the visuals?
Visuals is really so I really write my music sometimes more so now. There are certain songs that I write with an intention of performance and intention of a visual.
Mm-hmm.
Job Done was technically the cornerstone record of the project Fonzarelli. Every project that I create has a cornerstone record.
Okay.
And when I say a cornerstone record, it's the record that I fell in love with enough to be like, this is the essence of what the
That's
record
what
is supposed to be.
What
and
the
it's
album
never,
is.
It doesn't always have a visual. Mm-hmm. So like it does, just because I gave the visual the job done, there could have been another song on it. I'm like, no, this is the cornerstone. Right. You know what I mean? Like, there's a couple of projects that are like that I didn't do a video for, but there was another song on that I was like, this is the essence. Is it. You know what I mean? So the visuals really come from as I'm creating the music. So For Your Ears. I don't know if you saw that video. Yes, the For Your Ears video. Okay. I had already had the visual in mind by the time I had finished
For Your Ears. Oh, shit. That's all.
So when I had recorded it and I had sent it to my homie Huli, shout out Adept Films, because that's my film team always and forever. There's nobody else who's going to shoot any of my music videos. If I ever go up anytime, one of these niggas is coming with me. They really have been very beginning, and they've been shooting all of my videos
since the beginning.
So shout out them niggas. If y'all need a video, go hit them niggas, bro.
There you go.
But I sent him the record, and I had said to him, I was like, yo, what's your availability? And he's, you know, he hit me back with it, and I'm like, all right, look, we this is where we gonna be at. I want to use this space that's out there in the lot for the video. Yeah. He's like, that's it. I was like, that's it. We go from there. And whenever he pulls up, he has his already vision of it, because he's already listened to the song too. Yeah. So when he comes through, he's like, yo,
I got
where you want to go. Where are we starting? I'm like, all right, we gonna start here. And as I work through the shoot in the video, if he sees something or he wants me to redo it again or what have you, we've gotten on that rapport where it's no issue for me to have to, I gotta shoot this 6 times, I gotta shoot this seven more times. Because you see something differently, you see something, I can't see how he cuts it or whatever. So what y'all see is the same shit that I see, like, just 2 days after me. I don't go through and be like, I want this. No.
That's that trust.
You feel
factor,
me? Yeah. I trust him enough to be like, yo, here's the treatment. And sometimes I may see a video and be like, yo, this particular section, I want our next video to be shot like this.
Like that.
Okay.
Yeah. And it could be a 2 second, it could be like a 5 second clip that I saw, but the way it was angled or the way or whatever, and I'll send it to him and show him. He'd be like, all right, we could try something like this. Yeah. And he'll give me a variation of it. And I'll be like, that's what we're doing.
There you go.
Because it's ours. That stamp becomes ours now. It becomes something that we did. You know what I mean? And I like to do different things. Like you said, like, why did I choose the tux? Bro, I wrote the tux line before I even got the tux.
Mm-hmm.
So when I was like, this a tux, no cummerbund? Yeah, I had already,
to have the tux
I already
on.
had that particular in mind.
Say,
bro,
we need to crush, like, it because the weed's sticky like a honey bun.
Right, bro. Like, those are real things, bro.
It's real,
like,
life, bro.
I don't.
I be handing Cole the crusher sometimes. Cole be like, you know, I don't use no fucking crusher. But I be like, boy, that shit sticky.
I'll get you a grinder, dog.
That shit sticky, bro.
Get you a grinder, dog.
Yeah, you know, we all come from the same town.
I feel you, though. Get that sticky on your fingers, bro. You be walking around later, you be like, what that sticky on my fingers?
Excuse me.
You know, you always,
thank God nobody was hurting.
Oh,
exchange.
Man, you know what I mean?
But man, that's what I mean by, like, it's like this album for me was kin to, like, Nip.
Yeah. You know that's my
what
which one?
His album.
Victory Lap.
You know what I'm saying? It sounds like that's what you was going for. Like, with the, like, celebratory part of it, you know what I mean? Like, nah, the whole album just
December
sounds like we made it. Yeah,
December was a rough month for me, and it was, and not so much December, like towards the end of the year for me, it was a lot of emotion that I had experienced, be it, Real face-to-face encounters with death.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, even on my own accord, and then, you know, losing my grandmother, and then,
condolences.
You know,
rest in peace, G moms,
family,
you know what I mean?
Other family, you know, getting into close encounters and stuff like that. It's, it, it was just such an emotional thing that to have
took it out on the music.
To a certain point.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt like it wasn't really just for me, but like in general, I felt like everybody was just, if it was like a certain energy that like we were all kind of like,
like a breath of
fresh air. We made it out of 22.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, yo, God, yeah, bro.
Good release.
Man. You know, and I felt like, yeah, like you said, it was very celebratory. My birthday's in December, so you know, we was at the 4040 club and you know,
happy belated. My shit just passed last Saturday. Yeah,
oh,
man.
Happy birthday, bro.
Yeah,
man. So you know what I'm saying? It was high spirited. I don't wanna say it was celebratory, because like
we still gotta get
it. Yeah, you know what I mean? I'm still on a mission, bro.
Yeah, you give me like the era of like Black Hippie, Mac Miller. You know, remember that era, like 07, 08,
yeah.
09?
You
get
yeah.
Yeah, times.
Your bro. Sound is like that. You know what I mean? And I appreciate your music, bro.
I appreciate that.
I appreciate the work ethic even
more.
Yeah,
I'm
going
to get into it.
Saying?
I'm definitely going to check it out.
No, that's a fact, bro. His music is fire.
That's
you super lyrical. You know what I'm saying?
I appreciate that.
And even when you like a, because I listen to a lot of it, even like Me and Her. You like a, don't take no, you know what I mean?
Never.
A simple storyteller.
Yeah, bro.
And those are the rappers that I fall in love with, because I don't need the, I just need you to tell me what the fuck happened to you. You
yeah,
know what
bro.
I'm saying?
I'm very
ghetto love. Ghetto love is the lure that we live by. That's one of my favorite songs
yeah,
of all
bro.
Time, because the story that he's telling, he's telling you straight forward what happened.
Yeah.
It's just talking to you
just with rhymes.
Nah.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, bro.
Right.
So me and her, that's one of my tracks right there.
I appreciate that.
Heavy, and I know that's in the back catalog, right? That's like early, right?
Nah, that's actually this year.
This year?
Yep. That was the Black Fonzie.
That's
That project for me was fun to create. I have really got a chance to try something that was like a little bit different than what the average rapper and hip hop artist is doing.
Yeah.
It was very jazz,
okay,
heavy bassline oriented.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
On some like lo-fi type?
Nah.
Or just...
Nah, like on some real like jazz, like cello, drum set, like horns,
even that
like,
song that I'm talking about, that Me and Her,
yeah,
like,
bro, yeah,
it's a certain bop to that, to what he's saying. The
yeah,
production
dog, it's a completely
okay.
different energy than what's even for a female male song. Like, yo, that's my bitch song. Like,
mm-hmm.
it's one of those mm-hmm. songs that like
you
don't
did that
really.
To that?
Yeah, bro, it's, bro, I'm that's, telling you, dog. Like, it's
he did that to that.
It's really good. Like it's like. Like because the way it's the way it slaps, the way it hits,
right.
And it's just not that song. There's a song called "Watch Time Trials" with the homie Fury. That it heavy bass line, and it's like, you know what I mean. But the essence of that for me was like, you know, like we the new cool.
We cool.
You feel me? Like,
cool.
We the new cool.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't know what y'all doing over there.
Okay.
Like, so, like them shits could have fit it in.
Oh, right.
Them songs could have fit in Queen and Slim Mooney.
Bro, like, because that was the essence was that era of, like, I'm very much on big on, like, speakeasy style.
Yeah.
Rolling 20s type shit.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like,
that's the time.
To where it was like, you was only there because someone invited you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
You can't just pull
up. You ain't pulling up, bro. You ain't just pulling up, bro. This ain't...
You get tossed out.
This ain't the whiskey, bro. Yeah. This ain't Lava Lounge.
So, So, real quick, give me, I want to hear a little bit of a, you shouted him out when we was by the pool table, mm-hmm. West
Genius.
Oh,
he's
Genius.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to me about him, bro. He's, he caught my ear.
Huh. A lot of people like my man, Brandon.
Yeah,
bro.
And you work with him a lot.
Yes.
I guess it's the same reason that a lot of people say, because he's super dope.
Bro, he's
So what's your relationship with him? And after that, your relationship with Dizzy. Shout out to the boy Dizzy, man.
Hollywood.
Shout out to
all the invisible, Hollywood.
Man. January 28th, go get y'all tickets, man. The guy is in the building, you heard?
World,
he in the building.
World, nigga.
Yeah. Just give me like a couple minutes on that real quick, because I got one more question for you, and then we're going to get out of here.
Shout out to homie Brain. Me and him met, I think it was like 2019.
He's got 142 points, bro.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's wild. I told you, bro.
My fault.
Now you straight. We said it, 150.
I said 140, 150.
So me and Brain met at a show in Harlem. I think in like 2019, I think 2020, it was like either just before the pandemic or just after the pandemic.
Fire.
Pandemic
ain't stop nothing, right?
Nah. And we had, the thing about the showcase that we had did was that everybody had sounded the same.
Mm-hmm.
And he was the only other person that sounded like me. Mm-hmm. And I was like, nah, I got it right. I was like, because he's doing songs and styles and renditions that I'm like, that's hard, bro. I'm like, what?
Why?
And don't get me wrong, no disrespect to anybody else who was at that event that night. You know what I mean? There was a ton of trap artists. There was another ton of drill artists. There was a ton of reggae artists. And everybody put their shit on. Like, you know what I mean? But I have to say, he and I were the only two that I could say were rapping, like we're doing it for a sense of like
stood out,
rapping. You know what I mean?
Art of rap.
Art of rap. Mm-hmm. Art of hip hop. Mm-hmm. So when we connected, I was just like, yo, bro, listen, I fuck with what you got going on. I heard your shit in there. Like, let's exchange shit. I would love to get you on a couple records if you fuck with. He was like, yo, bro, for real. Like, I fuck with you. Bad. I think the first record that I sent to him, I can't even think of the name of it, but I sent it to him and he sent this shit back to me in like 2 days. And I was like, word? I was like, word? That was my thought process. And I'm going to say it may have been like within a week, but like it felt like 2 days. Like, so I was like, all right, cool. Another tape come around. And I'm not someone to say no to a feature, and I'm not someone to be like, nah, I won't work with you. But I will say that if we don't have the same vision or the same worth ethic,
it's not gonna work.
Mm-hmm. And it's no disrespect to what y'all or how y'all work, but I just work at a different clip.
Yeah. And I would like that same energy. Yeah.
Not even respect it. I don't need just you to have the same energy. Respect it. If I come to you for a feature, understand that I'm and niggas know, bro. If I come to you with a feature, I'm coming to you, yo, here's the beat, here's the concept, my side is done. I need this back by this time. If you don't get it back to me by this time, I will be moving on with the project.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a personal thing. This is a craft thing.
Yeah. Okay? You gotta
respect
get
the craft
it.
Or get craft over. So when he started sending me like that, I'm like, oh, I bet. Mm. And 9 times out of 10, I will get a pack. And if I hear something that I know I hear somebody else on, either A, I will give you the beat. Mm. B, I'll be like, yo, I need a verse.
Mm.
Or C, I'll be like, if I can't complete the song because I like the beat too, then
we do it together.
Straight, plain and simple, we do it together. Yeah. Because in a sense, like, I know, and my homies, they know. Everybody who's ever been on a feature, if I've ever sent you something, you know, bro, the second that you press play, it's exactly who the thought process or the sound. You're like, yo, this sound, this is it. Like, oh, shit. And all I ask is, bro, you do your thing, bro. Don't try to mimic or do any. Do your part. Sometimes I may send you the beat with nothing on it, and be like, "Yo, you take the lead on it, and I'll come through on it."
Sure. Yeah.
And honestly, Weese was one of those niggas who I was able to just, "Yo, what's up, brother?" I'm like, "Yo, I got 2 drinks. You got me?" I'm like, "Yeah, bro, send them over."
Mm-hmm.
Boom, boom.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. It's gonna be on this tape, and it's gonna be on this tape. Copy.
That's what's up.
And that's really how it stemmed.
That's real.
And now you could just feel the
But the, and that's what I had said to him. I had said to him, I was like, bro.
Chemistry is there.
I said, bro, I was like, it's that time. And he was like, what you mean? I'm like, we got to craft something together. Mm. I was like, we have too many little pieces for me to not feel like we can't create something that's you and me, but it speaks both of us.
It usually works that way when you get like a... unplanned duels in hip hop. That's how Red and Ruff started, really.
Mm-hmm. When you get you just have a good cohesiveness. Yeah, it's like, oh shit. You know what I mean?
It's like
you said you got 16 more bars?
Yeah. Oh man.
It's like relationships. When you're not looking for a relationship, the right one comes along. Right, and it's like, oh shit.
And it's perfect. It
so what about what about Dizzy?
Dizzy the same way, bro.
That's what I was gonna say. When he said just, what he said, when you was like, yo, and Dizzy, I'm like, what he just said, that's Dizzy, because I know. Because
when Dizzy tell me, so when Dizzy
like,
tell
that's
me,
how Dizzy, like, that's life with Dizzy.
Yeah. We know Dizzy forever. Music. So when Dizzy tell me, yo, that nigga work, I'm like, Dizzy telling
that's
me
what you
nigga
saying?
Work? Yeah, I know it's real.
He ain't just gonna say that for anybody.
So. I think I had just kind of got back into the swing of like recording and everything or whatever, and I had linked back up with Big Dog, and he was like, yo, pull up to the studio, like, niggas is here. I'm like, I bet, you know what I mean? Hadn't been a minute, see niggas, whatever. And I walk in. This nigga's sitting on the stool or some shit like that. And I'm like, yo. And I don't have no ill feelings to anybody I don't know, bro. So like my energy may come off crazy to niggas, or it may come off just a lot or whatever. But when I was like, yo, and he dapped me up, that our energies matched each other.
Yeah.
And I knew from that moment right there, I was like, I don't know who you are, my nigga, but some shit's about to happen. I could feel
that's
that.
Dizzy.
And they was working on the Bad Boys mixtape, him and Fury mixtape.
Okay.
And I was like, kind of just coming in just to be in the room, really, whatever. And nigga Killer, you know, Killer was like, yo, this nigga rap too, bro. Nigga was like, oh, where'd you rap? I'm like, yeah. So he's like, what's up? You got bars, whatever. I'm like, what's up? You got a track? Like,
Dizzy like, trying to test nigga the fuck out of here.
Right. So like, and here's my thing. Like I said, I'm not a battle rapper, but I always got bars for a verse.
For an occasion, you know what I'm saying?
Oh,
rap.
Always.
Is that rap? What?
Always, bro. Oh, word. Just the word.
Give me 2 minutes.
Yeah, here we go.
Done. What's up? Who next? That's really what it was. He was like, yo, this ain't third. So I'm like, I do a verse for you, you gotta do a verse for me then. Say less. So I did I forgot what song it was that we had did, me, him, I think it's me, him, Blues, and Casino on the same song. I forgot the name of the song. Blue Street, that's what it is.
Shout out to Blues, he on the bill too.
Shout out Blue, shout out Casino. And I was like, alright, bet. Did that verse for him. He was like, okay, like, cause I wrote it on the spot and recorded it on the spot. Like,
the same day.
Same day. Like I didn't leave, didn't go nowhere, nothing. Walked in the shit, was sitting there for probably like maybe a half hour, smoking, chilling, he talking, whatever, but wrote the shit, recorded it. Done. So I hit him, I'm like, yo, here's this track. It's a track called Sailor Moon. And he like, bro, this shit hard. This shit what? And he like, yo, can you, he like, yo, can you, I was like, yo, look.
I walked to the room
and he was, you know, we instantly, you know, we clicked, and it was really just from there, like I said, we went on a tear. Like, you know, he was like, bro, let's get together. You know, I was pulling up on him. I think I pulled up to Dizzy crib like 4 times for like a 3-hour session.
Wow.
And granted, some of the session was really, you know, us just chopping it, you know, but we created that project from Paris with Love. And it was really his idea.
Mm-hmm.
He gave me the vision, and you know, I had the tools, but we worked together on it.
And brought it,
you know what I mean, and
brought
the project to life. And really gave it the overall essence, and you know, he been my brother ever since, you know, and we that's really fine. Gonna always look out for each other, you know. He hit me for this shit, you mm-hmm. know, and I be hitting him for other stuff, so you
that's
know,
that's how it's supposed to go.
Shout right, to Dizzy,
you
know, man.
You. Yo, I'm a, if you need me, bro, and I can help you get above me, bro, go ahead, bro. I ain't gonna.
Nah, that's a fact. That's why we started this platform, the podcast, because like we was talking earlier, we couldn't contribute to music in the way we wanted to, like rap or nothing like that. And then finding the podcast lane is like, yo, we know mad talented people that we could just have sit down and share their talent with everybody else. You know what I'm saying?
They're my outlet. You know what I'm saying? So that's what we have for now, even with these events and doing this, that just opens a whole nother path.
Yeah, that's
a fact. Because it definitely helps with networking, man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Like, when you do events, like, you know, with the movie, it's really going to be a time where we really could capitalize on something.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
The next one don't gotta be a versus. It could really be a straight up showcase.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's the thing. We did, like, this summer, we did straight up showcases. We did four. So, you know, we had artists on the bills. The last one we did was for Christmas. I told people, if you come to the door with a toy or clothing for kids, you get in half off. And you know, we got a basket full. We took it to the hospital, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
so then that's why this idea spawned, was like a versus, you know what I mean? So shout out to everybody that's on the bill again, man. Money Hungry Ty, Black Casino, Dolly Tyson, Yetta Cortez, Alpha Man, Blues Dollars, and y'all already know the main event, RBN Bizzle versus Dizzy Spades, man.
Hollywood.
It's about to get crazy. You got anything specific you want to give to the people before we get out of here? Give me your Instagrams and everything like that.
Y'all can follow me on all my socials, Pepe Alfonso. Mm-hmm. You know what it is. Definitely go tap into that Alpha World, the collective. You know, go get you some of these fine.
And numbers. Alpha World Music Group, that's your label?
Yeah, Alpha World Recording Company.
Recording Company, sorry.
So that's
fire, fire.
Other than that, you know, just keep your eyes peeled. Mm-hmm. Go check the latest work, Fonzarelli, World Intel.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Some videos out, always.
Always. And we appreciate you for coming on to the platform.
Yo, facts,
man.
I appreciate
that's
y'all
a fact, bro.
Me, you know?
And it definitely won't be the last time, you know what I'm saying?
Please,
whenever you feel
it's
like.
It's only the introduction.
Yeah, whenever you feel like you got something you need to promote or anything, holla at us, man.
Yeah, we always I'm in for that smokers one, too, so.
That's a fact. And we mobile, so we'll do that in a different location where we could get crazy while we on the camera. You know what I'm saying? That's
you
a
got
fact.
My digits, nigga. Let's go, man.
Let's do it.
Hit the homie, bro. Yeah, world shit for life.
That's a fact. So for that. Alpha Man, for Don Core, it's D-Reek and Hippie. And y'all already know what we about to do. We about to get up out of here. We might roll one or two real quick, you know what I'm saying, man? We out of here. Stephen made the beat, so you know I get a drummer some. Pretty women.